I felt bad for you yesterday. I did.
You felt bad for me?
I don't mean like I felt bad for you as a person. I just mean like I wasn't angry at you. And ultimately, like, I wished you had experienced more inner peace.
Yeah, so you could just tell that I was experiencing some turmoil.
Yeah.
And I was unable to reach a lower stress level. I hope I didn't take it out on you too badly.
No, that's what I'm saying. I actually like don't even want to ream you for it because I understand what went into the whole thing. God, I'm not upset.
Oh my God. Everything weighs on me so heavily. And the worst part is, the thing that I don't think is at all like impressive or like reasonable to be sad about is I'm not a good enough clown. It's like, it's such a silly thing to get depressed about, but it's like, I'm not funny enough. it's so childish to get mad about, but I do.
Well, at the same time, I did say to our little buddy last night.
Our little bud.
I said, the reason I don't want to do this podcast live is because of the exact thing that Gabe's going through right now. Because I know I would feel it too.
Oh.
And it's the fear that you're not funny when you're funny. Sure. That's the problem. That's what's so scary about the like nerves of a stand-up comic or like the pressure of the whole thing, because it's like you're funny, but then all of a sudden you think you're not.
And well, yes, I think there's a certain part of it that's losing the trust in yourself. But then also, it's you're at your funniest when you're trusting yourself. And so it's like it's a real self-fulfilling prophecy. So like I ended up, you know, last night we went to this show where I was performing. It was like a little open stage. And I do think that me being scared of doing badly made my set worse, made my set more frantic, more nervous. And
it's hard because I think being nervous is like the one thing you can't hide. Right?
Do you think people could tell that I was nervous? I've been told that I project an air of confidence on stage even when I'm nervous.
I don't know. I can't answer that. Probably
depends,
tuned in.
Probably depends night to night. Anyway, is this what we want to spend the podcast?
No, but this is good for us.
We'll keep some.
Don't keep that.
You know that the amount of times that both of us have burped so far in this podcast is already so many that we have to keep them in because it's too funny.
Well, ever since I found out that someone that we know's friend can't burp, I'm like, damn, like
you gotta take advantage,
appreciate the gift that God gave you.
I know. Can you, I mean, this person was talking about going through physical pain regularly to the point where they were considering injecting Botox into their throat, not having a physician do it, to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Or a technician. I don't know how trained they are. I don't know what certification it takes to put Botox into somebody's larynx, but because they were so uncomfortable with being unable to burp and gases being trapped in them. It's a sad life.
Well, to reiterate the story that I told yesterday, I once did go to the ER for a very similar reason. What's so sick about having a mild health concern after the hours of like 7 p.m. is that you get to go to the ER and tell everyone you went to the ER. Only a real motherfucker says like, I went to the ER, but only because the doctor wasn't open. Everyone else is just like, I went to the ER last night. And it's like, okay, but was it an emergency or was that just the only motherfucker open?
Okay, are you trying to say that you were flexing?
Or no, it's good the to opposite say that of the opposite of that.
You felt embarrassed that you were going to the emergency room.
Some people go to the emergency room because they're having an emergency.
Yes.
Some people go to the emergency room because their doctor is not open.
Yeah.
So to be clear, I went to the ER, but not because I wanted to. It just happened to be midnight.
Okay.
It's like how people want to know who's rich and feel like their friend should tell them.
Yeah.
This is me being honest about that.
That you went to the emergency room not because that you. Okay, I understand. You don't want to steal the valor of someone who actually had to go through an emergency.
Most people are like, I went to the ER and it's like.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
girl.
You're like, okay, were you sick? Okay, I understand. I'm on the same page now.
Wrap it up. Okay. I went to the ER because I was experiencing the feeling of needing to burp but it not going away for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And it was because I chugged a beer really fast. Did I tell the people at the ER that? No. I just said I'm experiencing something I've never experienced before. Not a lie.
True.
But I never told them, hey, listen, I chugged a beer and,
it ain't going I'm just away. Imagining they like took an x-ray and they just see a bubbling stomach
yeah.
full of beer.
And they're like, well.
There's a hand in there that says Duff.
Yeah. I was thinking Simpsons when you started talking about that too. And the worst part was it was a gluten-free beer that did it to me too.
I don't know. I don't even think that exists.
Last time I ever had it.
I do have something that this made me think of though, because it made me think of the emergency vet.
No, no.
Well, we took Nigel to the emergency vet recently, which I recently learned only exists because of immense venture capital funding. of veterinary services because they realize they can guilt people into spending however much money they want.
But wait, to interrupt, Nigel didn't just go to the emergency vet because it was the only one open. He was having an emergency.
And it was late.
And it was the only one open.
It was the only one open. But you would have gone to your regular vet if your regular vet had been open. True. But it was an emergency. I mean, Nigel's a weird cat. That cat was acting weird.
That cat went from weird to weird.
Yeah, that cat went from weird social to weird, like, hiding. To, you know, cats always hide when they're about to die. So I really thought it was it for him.
Mm-hmm.
When, as soon as they're like, I'm going to just go sit back here where nobody's going to find my body. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Anyway, Nigel was being weird. But the point of the story has nothing to do with Nigel and has nothing to do with you even. It was at one point you were in the back with the cat and the physicians as they were trying to figure out how much money they could milk out of you. And out front, this guy comes in with his, like, golden retriever. I think it's a golden retriever. Anyway, he comes in with this big, fluffy dog. And because the dog is big, they don't take them back to the exam room. They just, like, come and talk to the people out in the waiting room. But when they were talking to this guy, he was like, oh, yeah, my dog has an ear infection. He's had it for a couple months. We've been giving him eardrops, and it just looks really bad. And I'm like, you should go to the vet tomorrow. Your dog is fine, and they're charging you how much just to see you at the emergency vet?
It's like 500.
It's like 500 just to be there, right? Yeah. And over the course of the conversation, I learned that this is his third time at the emergency vet for this dog. I'm like, this dog doesn't have a doctor.
Yeah.
This is this dog's doctor.
Well, it's like someone who goes to urgent care because they don't have a primary.
Three times he took him to the urgent care to get eardrops.
Okay, but here's the thing. Well, I could really go down the fucking rabbit hole with this one, okay? Multiple things were at play. While you were experiencing that, I was experiencing the other side, okay? The other side where the small fucked up animals went.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a very calm woman say to me, I think you made a good decision. Bring him in, you know. I'll be with you in a second. I look up at the monitor where someone is entering into an Excel spread, the code of Nigel being on urgent.
Wait, no. Nigel,
like,
red.
There was, yeah, no, like I literally saw, it's like Nigel, Kirsten, blah, 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 like all their details. And then it says like level of urgency. And then I just saw them like click, fill, red. It became red. And I was like,
Yeah, that ain't good. I mean, I will say.
That's how I found out he was fucked up.
That's, I mean,
through Microsoft Excel.
Well, they took the dude's temperature and it was high. For a cat, high.
Well, I didn't know it was high for a cat at that time. They were just like,
they told you the number.
But he's 102.
Yeah,
I think you did a good job bringing him in.
Yeah, you did. Like, you didn't know that they were like, this cat's dead.
You're holding a dead cat.
Nigel's like,
your cat's dead. shit.
Wait, hold on. This cat is 2 degrees. How did it even get so cold?
But another point on this, I do think we talked about this in the podcast.
Going to the urgent care?
I think we did.
Maybe we did.
Because I was like, you either have to pay me for the visit or break up with the person who gave you the bouquet that led for him to go to the urgent care.
You did tell me. You gave me that ultimatum. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast, though.
Huh? Who knows? But
you gave me a serious ultimatum.
But last thing on this, that's funny. I'm so sorry. I had to do it. That's like burp four on the podcast. This is my first time drinking White Claw while podcasting.
It's a high noon.
This is my first time drinking a high noon while podcasting.
That's true. You did a White Claw last week and a high noon this week. And each week you're going to get a different drink. And you're like, this is my first time having a tequila soda on the goddamn podcast.
Honestly, that'd be a really good indicator. You know, just like, I'm Jay, this is Gabe, and this is my first time having a tequila soda on the podcast. Next one's like, this is my first time having a Paloma on the podcast.
Keep it fresh. Keep it citrusy, light. The thing is, there aren't enough drinks that you like.
Sure. There's like 5. We can have 5 more. What's going to happen first? I'm going to drink all the drinks that I like, or you're going to get canceled from this podcast.
I think I'll probably get canceled. I seriously need your help, because otherwise I'm gonna say something wrong and it's gonna go badly. We're not out here trying to be, we're out here trying to be sensitive, but at the same time, we try to say things like they appear to us. Not like they really are, but like they appear to us.
I was thinking of it today. Like, I was thinking of a person listening to us talking, being like, having some to do with the fact that like we're being like toxic or like unfair or whatever, and it's like, okay, it's called bad boy behavior. Like, why are you listening?
Yeah.
We know it's bad.
I mean, to be fair, I will say I was having this conversation with someone about the podcast the other day, and they were saying that they were basically like, do you feel like you're able to like capitalize on your toxic behavior? Like, do you feel like this is incentivizing you to do more toxic stuff?
I wish. I fucking wish.
Yeah. It's like, I wish. It's like, I really do feel like, first of all, I think both of us are in general motivated to be better people than we are, mm-hmm. which puts a hampering on the content for the podcast, but that's okay. We'll put that aside. But the other thing is, we can't help but fall into issues. We can't help but be toxic beyond bad behavior sometimes.
Well, I think that's part of the ethos, right? It's that we're like two Jews in a confessional. Like, this is a Jew's confessional. I think it's two good people airing the toxic thing that they did that they're not necessarily proud of.
Well,
but they're owning it.
We're owning it. That's exactly right. We're owning our history.
Herstory. Sorry, that's that's good girl behavior. Wait, good girl behavior?
Yeah. Okay, good, do the spinoff.
Good girl behavior. That what? One, I dare you, girlies, go off.
Yeah.
Take it and run with it.
Yeah. I think that podcast, I'm not hesitating because I don't like women. I'm hesitating because I don't like the title you came up with. And I'm trying to think of a better one.
Good girl behavior?
Well, good, because good behavior isn't as much of a, you know, phrase.
Okay.
It's bad. Like bad behavior, best behavior. Be on your best behavior.
Butch.
Butch boy. Butch. No, butch, it's got to be a behavior? G. That's the problem. It's a whole mess.
It's a mess. Anyway, listen, I dare. I dare you to have a spinoff, and I dare you to tell me how many people want to fucking listen to that piece of shit.
Well, we have like 10 listeners, so the spinoff gets one.
I like how you got fucking roasted because you were like, yeah, we've got.
Can I tell my part
five
of it?
Five people listening in Chicago, and we got four people in New York listening, and one person in Bulgaria.
And our friend was like, it's a VPN. And yeah. I knew that. I just thought it was funny. Who's downloading our podcast on a VPN? If you're pirating our podcast. No, I'm kidding. If you're listening to our podcast with a VPN, it's probably because you do everything with a VPN. I doubt
that
it's.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, so who do we know that's a nerd?
We know plenty. We really do.
Well, the only story I brought today is to do with Nigel.
Oh, okay.
So it does feel appropriate
to.
Yeah,
it's good that we've talked about him so much.
To discuss him. The only thing I thought of, Gabe told me to start generating a list of content.
Yeah, just, you know.
And I generated it for the first time about 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
And it just says.
You understand that what I'm trying to say is not like sit down and come up with ideas. I'm saying as ideas come, take notes.
Well, yeah, the idea came to me about 20 minutes ago.
Okay, I see. I thought you were saying I really came into a crunch in the last minute.
No. I just thought of it in the last 20 minutes. And it just says Nigel Grasshopper. Okay.
Okay.
And this is what
is he an alcoholic?
So we subscribed to Chewy because the last time I set foot in a pet store, Gabe bought me two mice for $2. And long story short, in the next 6 months, I spent about $600 on them.
That's true. Well, that is a true story. I will say that's not the last time you walked into a pet store. The last time you walked into a pet store, the woman behind the counter shamed you for not wanting to buy
store. That's a store for pets. They don't sell pets there. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a pet supply store.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I talk about the pet supply store, though?
Yeah.
Just because this person is shaming you because you come in and you're like, I want the blue buffalo. And they're like, that's really processed and like bad for your cat. And you're like, oh, well, I think I'm just going to go someplace else that has it. And they're like, you know, if you did raw food, it would be a lot better for your pet's coat. And I'm like, lady, you're bald.
So true. You're bald. You're dumb. I'm going to CVS, bitch.
Like, she's bald. How can someone who's bald be like, you should eat this for your healthy hair?
I said, listen, baldy.
I didn't say anything to her, but I was thinking it.
Well, you were silent. And I said, hey, bestie, it ain't going to happen today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
She was like, well, when you're ready to change your mind, we'll be here. That's what she said. Ooh. So when you're ready to change your mind, we'll be here.
Shame.
And I was like,
I mean, if you run a health food pet store, you, first of all, believe that other stuff is crap. And second of all, run your business on shame. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever been to like a vegan restaurant? It's like, I like restaurants that don't serve meat. I like restaurants that are like meat free. But if they're like, we are a vegan restaurant, then when you walk in, if you say anything out of line, anything untoward, if you ask for honey, they're like.
True.
Sorry, get one more.
Thank God.
I try to get you sick.
I think vegans not having honey is the funniest thing in the entire fucking world.
I mean, it's pretty funny. They draw the line where they draw the line.
Honestly, I would rather eat hamburgers and not have honey ever again.
Why?
Because when you think about it, because the bees are hustling for that. Like, right? That's their byproduct.
Yeah.
They are working for it.
It's not their byproduct. It's their product.
It's their product.
Right. They're just, they're making it.
Oh, yeah. Like lip balm is their byproduct.
No, the byproduct is, I don't know, something else. Anyway. Yeah. They obviously are storing it for a reason. And they work hard to get it.
We rob them.
And we rob them.
We just kill cows.
Is that better?
Yes. I do think it's a one-to-one. This is just more manipulative. This is like, hey, we're not going to kill you. We're not going to eat you. We think that's fucking disgusting. We're going to take your shit, though.
Okay.
Ethically, honey is more complicated.
I hear you. I don't know if I agree with you. I hear you. But I want to just like broaden our horizon just a little bit and ask about cheese. Because that's also stealing.
Yeah, we're robbing them.
So that's worse.
That's worse.
You're saying it's more ethical to murder a cow and eat it than
milk it.
Milk it into your mouth.
Well, yes, because a lot is wrapped up in that, mate. Okay. I've got so much to say. Okay. Honey's, yes. Whatever. Milk is bad too. Taking a cow's milk is bad because you impregnate them to take their baby away and then you just milk them for life.
Yeah, I do think it is generally very... I mean,
the thing is, the bees, as far as I understand, are just being bees. But one day they come home and their shit's not there anymore.
That's worse?
Well, it's definitely confusing.
Yes, it's definitely confusing. But I would say that every animal that humans interact with is confused.
I want someone to knock me up, take my baby away, and milk me for life. To punish me for how much cheese I ate. Is that an option?
That would be nice. What if hell was just you have to experience everything you've ever done to someone? To everything else.
Just for animals.
Well, okay. Well, here's
what... You get shucked for life.
I will say this is something I was thinking about. Because obviously we're here. We're drawing the line. We're saying... Vegans are saying, you know, bees, we care about them. And we don't want to take the hard-earned fruits of their labor. What about wheat?
Wheat?
Yeah, what about wheat? Because
let's start with that.
That shit, they work, those stalks work hard growing these pods.
Yeah, but they don't live in community the same way.
I thought they did live in community. I mean, that's just because we have like homogenous agriculture, but like wheat would, you know, it's a grass. It like lives in the ecosystem.
You don't know anything about it.
I clearly don't.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. School me.
No idea. I'm not going to tell you anything more. But I'm going to say that. But listen.
Would you talk about Nigel and the Grasshopper? Because we did not
get back. Here's what happened. Anyway, the Chewy order, for whatever reason, got messed up and Nigel didn't have food. And so what do I do? Where don't they sell pets? But it's
where
still kind of fucked
spell
up.
Pets?
Amazon.com.
Oh.
Because I was trying to order something really specific that I had ordered and then lost. I had to order it again. So I said, you know what? While I'm here ordering from Amazon, which I don't usually do, might as well stock it up, get some of Nigel's food.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, the food did not come. It didn't come yesterday and it didn't come today. My guy is hungry. Okay?
Oh, no.
He's eating wet food for every meal. And he started stopping.
He's protesting.
He's
which
like,
is a shame.
I want to chew, bitch.
When it's fucking dry food season, when there's no wet food in the house, he's pissed about that, too.
Yeah. Well, you know? he likes his entree.
Yeah, he likes his switching back and forth. And,
he likes his porridge.
Ugh, poor thing.
But anyway, the package did not come today.
Oof.
And I said, here we go again. Nigel, I gave him two different cans of the food. And like, it's like, this could work. Okay? But what does my man do? He does not eat any of it. And I'm like, shit.
Oh, no.
But the order is still supposed to come tonight. So I'm still holding out. Okay? I'm still holding out. I go into the backyard. What's my guy doing? He is eating a goddamn grasshopper. But he's not exactly eating it. He's kind of just like catching it to like put in his mouth, gag it out, and then let it jump away and then catch it again. And I just I'm sitting there and I'm like, better eat that thing. You better eat that thing. Because I'm like, if he doesn't eat that and he just injures it, I'm going to be stepping on it.
You're like, end it. Yeah.
So I'm watching to make sure he eats it.
Because he's not a great hunter.
But he was doing great.
I mean,
he was goddamn torturing it.
He just doesn't know how to kill anything.
It was weird. He kept putting it in his mouth and gagging it out. Like, he didn't want to eat it, but he did want to hunt it.
It's like when we had the mice in the house and he was just like...
Yeah, that's so true. He just wants to slap them around.
He just wants to, like, smack
on
them.
It's, like, so relatable, though. But it's just so funny. Like, he's, like, in the house. Like, I haven't seen him eat a grasshopper or any other creature this entire year. But the one night he takes a stand, he puts his little middle fingers up to me, and he says, fuck you. he goes in the backyard to hunt a grasshopper. And I'm like, dude. So I'm watching him try to fucking kill this thing for, like, 20 minutes. And I feel like I have to watch him. I have to see the whole thing through the end because I have to make sure he kills it.
Right.
Otherwise, I have to kill it.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there watching Nigel catch the grasshopper, put it in his mouth for 1 second, spit it out because it's disgusting, let it jump away, then repeat for 20 minutes. And then I was at my wit's end so hard, I drove to Liz's Pets. No, I drove to CVS to buy him cat food.
Oh, my God.
I literally did come back.
You came back with fucking Friskies or something?
I came back with Blue Buffalo and the White Claw.
They had it at CVS?
Something for him, something for me. Yeah, but you do not want to know how expensive it was.
Oh, okay, right. That's fair.
Yeah, am I allowed to take a bathroom break?
Yeah, well, you can take a break. Okay. This is what my life is like, folks. It's just, you know, Jay doing whatever the hell they want, and I just have to live with it. Hey, Jay, are you done yet? They won't flush. They won't wipe.
I'm not flushing. I'm not wiping.
They're not trying to waste time.
Not washing my hands. Because
they're back on here.
Tonight, we are recording the puck.
Because we were talking about this being your first time having a High Noon on the show, I would like to discuss the High Noon diet.
The High Noon diet.
Come on. Give it to us.
I feel like this is going to be our first trigger warning.
Okay. Give the warning if you feel like people need it.
I don't know. Dare I say eating disorder? Dare I say trigger warning, disordered eating, trigger warning for the brave ones, eating disorder.
Okay. This is just so funny. I want to just point out, this is one of the Jay rags on all the time. It's like, why would they change it? Why would they change it from being eating disorder to being disordered eating?
It's just like, that's not the squeaky wheel of the DSM-5. Like, if we can just, like, switch it all up, it's like disordered gender. I don't know, disordered whatever.
Well, to me, I'm like, the reason I understand the change to have been made is like something like OCD, right? There's something wrong with you. Eating disorder is you're doing something wrong. Or sorry, disordered eating is you're doing something wrong. As opposed to there's something fucking wrong with you.
I just picture like the fucking round table. It's all white men. They're all 60. And one of them's like, so my granddaughter's been.
Said it was problematic.
Said she doesn't have an eating disorder. And I said, well, you don't have an eating disorder, but your eating is kind of disordered.
It's like literally a dad joke.
And then they were like, wait a second. They pull up the grand file, the 800 pages Word file that DSM-5 is saved on, and they just edit.
It's a PDF. They have to convert it back to Word. And back. They're like,
they go to DocuSign. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They're back.
They call their secretary to do it for them.
Anyway, Gabe is forcing me. To talk about this on the podcast. How I said.
Well, you said it was perfect. You said, this is the perfect system. Can you find any flaws with this system? And so I'm thinking, hey, if this is a freaking great system, if this is the diet that's going to save our country.
Yeah, it's the High Noon diet.
I want to let everyone know.
It's the High Noon diet. It works for me. I don't know if it'll work for you. I'm not telling anyone that they should do this.
Nobody should do this.
I don't even think I should do it, but I'm doing it, okay?
It's just what's happening.
It's called count your calories. All right, count your calories.
Well, that's step one.
Step one, count calories. Get the app where you count them.
Which is already wrong.
It's already bad.
In terms of nutrition, it's like, you're already fucking.
Honestly, the reason I wanted the trigger warning is just because I was going to say count calories. It has nothing to do with Zavala at all. It's just that part, because that part. That's the tough part.
It's really tough. It's like when you were like kind of getting into this dieting kick a couple weeks ago, you said something to me like, if I only have 1500 calories a day, I can lose 15 pounds in 2 weeks. And I was like, that's not safe.
It's so funny because it tells you, it says how much, right. It says, what's your weight? What weight do you want to be? And then it says, based off those responses, you can lose 0.5 pounds a week if you eat this many calories. But then there's the option to override that says not recommended. And it says, and it's more than that. So it's like, not recommended, but if you want to lose 1 pound, and then it's like, not recommended, 1.5?
Yeah.
Obviously, I said 1.5. Like, I'm like, let's go. I'm going to start hard mode, and I'll back off.
I don't think that this is going to give you the results that you want.
I think it will. I literally think it will.
Okay.
But anyway.
You know, we were talking yesterday about how I don't really understand why you're trying to be skinny.
You'll never understand. I don't want to be skinny. I just don't want to feel the way I feel.
Have you ever heard the phrase, wherever you go, there you'll be?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't escape your problems.
It sits right next to my mom saying, you are the sum of the five people closest friends that are closest to you. And it's like, okay, they all have eating disorders. Let's go, baby.
Okay.
Okay,
okay,
50% of them like high noon and 50% of them have eating disorders.
So I'm...
Anyway, here's the new diet.
Okay.
Cut this.
Wait a minute. Wait, what was I saying? I was saying, wherever you go, there you'll be. Look, if you take a moment to have real confrontation before we address the diet, I feel like this buildup is actually going to help the punchline of the diet a little bit. You know, when you get down those pounds, you're still going to hate yourself.
Honestly, though, I won't. I hate to say it, but I literally won't.
Okay. This is toxic. I'm so glad you're saying this on the podcast because this is toxic.
I'm actually right, though. Just saying. You know, it's like sometimes it's like people are like, if only I could blank, if only I could blank. And it's like, bitch, you're never going to be happy. You're so fucked up.
Jay, I feel like you work so hard at your job that it would actually make more sense for you to eat more protein and work out than to like get skinny and anemic and fucking pass out at your job.
I haven't passed out yet, baby.
No, but you've ridden the wave. You feel the woos coming on and you're like, woohoo. Like you just let it ride while you're shoveling dirt.
This is called bad behavior, okay? It's all bad. It's all bad behavior. It's all bad behavior. But you're making me talk about it on the podcast. You're the bad guy here.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Do you think that...
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I know you weren't going to bring it up, but do you not want to talk about it?
No, I'm down to talk about it, but I do feel shame.
Well...
I actually don't feel shame. I only feel bad that it's going to catch on. That's it.
Right. Okay.
I feel bad that I could be impressionable.
Well, okay. Look, I don't think anyone looks to you as a role model. Okay.
Here's what you do. You count your calories. All right. You count your calories. I don't need breakfast.
No breakfast.
So we're already like doing great.
Yeah. This is an adjustment from your previous diet, which was Rice Krispie treat for breakfast.
Well, yeah, I haven't had a Rice Krispie treat in a year. A Dorito.
It's a shame.
So sad. But when you think about it, there's 365 days in a year. That's like 365 Rice Krispie treats happening.
That's a lot.
And when you think
about it, you were eating them daily.
Every single morning. I mean, that's
what happens. What, the 7-Eleven Rice Krispie
treat? The gas station breakfast will fucking get you. Anyway, I switched to Cliff Bars.
Sorry, say that again?
I switched to Cliff Bars. So depressing. But this is the high noon diet that Gabe is forcing me to talk about it.
Why are you making me the bad guy?
Forcing me to talk about it. Glock pointed to my face. This is the diet, okay? Don't eat that many calories. All right, don't eat that many calories.
That's the first one. Limit.
Do physical labor all day. Don't have breakfast.
And?
And by the time you have lunch and dinner, you'll see that you have X amount of calories left, naturally. Okay.
Because you're not eating anything.
Because you're not eating breakfast.
You skip breakfast. So you have some deficit between how much you've eaten and your goal calorie count.
Sure. So what you don't have for breakfast and you have left over in the day, you make up with high noons for multiple reasons. One, you didn't eat that much.
For those who don't know, it's an alcoholic seltzer. What's the calorie count on that thing?
100.
Okay, it's 100.
Do you know how many calories a slice of American cheese is?
300.
Like 110.
Oh, okay. I was
like, it's just like slices of American cheese or get fucked up. Like, I just keep thinking about this. So anyway, this really works for me. We're gonna have to cut this whole episode.
What
I'm gonna
like
get
about
arrested.
This is that, like, I feel like there are you've always been someone who likes drinking.
True.
But there have been times where you're like, I'm not gonna drink so much, and now you're like, well, I have to fill the calorie count somehow.
Well, yeah,
and I'm not gonna eat cheese.
I'm not going to be fucking eating 3 American cheese slices a night, but I might be drinking 3 high noons.
I mean, I've seen you eat cheese late at night. I think it...
I know.
Honestly, it makes me happy to eat cheese late at night.
I mean, it makes me happy too, but when I think about it, it's like, I'm going to eat that cheese in 2 seconds. I'm going to drink the high moon in 20.
How many calories is like a puff of the vape?
Zero.
So I'm
getting into vape. I mean, don't get me started on the vape diet, the posh diet. Vape all day.
Vape
drink
all day,
Gatorade Zero. Case closed.
You're hydrated.
Live for 3 days. Die. This is the story, okay? Don't eat that much. Have a calorie deficit. But it doesn't end there. You got 300 calories left. That's 3 white claws.
That's 3 white claws.
That's 3 white claws.
And you're doing this
every
daily.
Day. Every day I don't have breakfast, and every day I have 3 white claws.
There was one day where you didn't have a white claw the other night. Because you.
No, I'm just kidding. This has only been the past 3 days.
Oh, okay.
But I love it.
Okay, and I like what you were saying yesterday. You were like, there's no problem with this. Try to find a flaw in my logic. And I was like, I don't know how to put into words how bad this is.
What's the flaw? Okay.
I mean, to be fair, the white claws are not going to thwart you getting skinnier. Like, they're not going to thwart you losing weight. It's like, as soon as you're like, well, I'm drinking every day. You know, it's like, as soon as you're like, it's
yeah,
like,
I don't usually drink every day.
But now
I
you kind of are.
Cheese.
I usually pick the cheese, but now I'm on the high noon diet. I also will say you tend to drink them pretty slow.
Yeah.
You're not a quick drinker.
Not with these. I don't like them. I don't like it. It's so bad. Anyway, do you want to talk about something toxic for like the next 45 minutes?
I was very well behaved this past weekend. I was hanging out with an old friend, introducing them to my partner, and introducing my partner to them and their fiance. It was great.
Okay, but this is the part of the podcast where you say something bad.
I know, but I didn't do anything wrong.
Just the sound of the fish tank. Here's some bad boy behavior. You were doing stand-up yesterday.
True.
And I said, you know, I haven't asked in a while. I said, what if I came? What if I came? And you're like, well, I'm not going to talk to you.
I did say that.
I'm going to be talking to the other comics. And well, I was like, you can't do not even take that mic. We're going to keep it going. I was like, okay, well, I didn't ask you to talk to me. I was going to go with someone else. Just because, you know, it's kind of in the middle of where we live. You know, I was just thinking of it more as an event. Mm-hmm. A little less about you. And then we made a pact that I wouldn't talk to you unless you wanted to talk to me.
You made that pact.
Well, I made that pact to accommodate your feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I was grumpy yesterday. And, you know, sometimes when I'm grumpy, I'm short. And sometimes when I'm grumpy, I have, I would say, needs that are confusing. And the reason I said that is because I knew that I was going to have anxiety about the show. And then having social anxiety about being around my friends and like how I look in front of them redoubles all of that. Mm. And like worrying about this history I have of like being rough after shows, I was like, I can't have anyone around. And also, I'm like trying to do this thing where I like meet people because I've been reaching out to all these shows and people don't message me back. So maybe the tape's not good. Maybe they don't like me. Maybe, you know, there's a million reasons. And I think they're all valid why they wouldn't message me back. I don't know. But I do want to be on the show. So I feel like I'm trying to make impressions on people. I'm trying to, like, let people know.
You're doing good. I watched the whole time.
I was schmoozing.
I was drinking a high noon.
I didn't.
I said, I was watching you. And I said to who I was with, I said, I'm going to watch Gabe till he makes eye contact with me. You didn't make eye contact
with
me.
No, I didn't look
at
you.
I watched for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I want to be clear. I was over there having a bad time because there were some people there that I knew and some people there that I didn't know and some people who later in the night I found out were like funny and I liked them. But it was impossible to sit at that table without like it was like a table of all comedians. I would say mostly men, I can't say for sure.
Question mark.
Mostly men. There's two kinds of comics, right? There's the ones that are like, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. And then there's the ones that are like, so, right? And the ones that are like, so, they don't give off an air of wanting to talk to you, or they're just talking to their friend, right? And then you come up and they're like they're just like.
Okay, keep making clicking sounds.
You like that? Does it help?
No.
Is it illustrative?
I wish they made that sound.
They just like, they just like brush that. You off. They're like. You know. But, so this was a very.
I wish it didn't make them seem so cool.
This was a what?
I wish it didn't make them seem so.
Does cool. It make them seem cool that I say this? Do you think?
Well, when I was watching it, I was like, those cool? Guys are kind of dicks. But then I was kind of like, but they're kind of cool for being dicks.
Okay, wait. I will say, speaking of being dicks, one of them. I want to be clear in case this person ends up listening to this, which is very unlikely. But I liked this person.
Unlikely because they didn't like the way you behaved at the community table.
Yeah, they were they I as soon as I left, they held a little quorum and they all decided that I wasn't going to be allowed at the table next time. But this person, I have nothing against them. I think they're funny. I like their comedy. They have a little bit of a distinctive voice, so I might be doing a bit of an impression when I do this. But I don't mean any ill intent. I thought that this was very funny, but it was just interesting that this was my first time meeting this person. And this is, I walk up to them and this is what they say. They're talking to someone else. They're not talking to me. They're just in the middle of a story. They're like, so I was doing crowd work. Someone's phone went off. And I said, oh, you get it.
They laughed at that. And then I, you know, the biggest laugh of the night, I got a 10-second applause break when I held my hand up to my ear. I sort of mimed a phone and I said, Mr. Penis here.
And that was the joke that he was like,
I don't know why, but it killed.
I don't get it.
No, it's not funny. And I do think, like, you know, ultimately what this was about was, like, you know, this person riffing, being silly, and saying something that was kind of stupid and people loving it.
Ring, ring. It's Mr. Penis.
I guess I do think it's funny because I can't stop thinking about it.
Honestly, I regret sitting in the front row yesterday because our table was, like, making everyone feel better about themselves.
Yeah, I will say when someone's in the front row at a show with that has that much audience interaction, which it did, they're just going to keep going to you, even though other people might be willing to be engaged. It's just like one of our friends got touched by like three or four different comedians.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did say last night, obviously people doing stand up are all posturing themselves in these different ways.
Yes.
And I said the common denominator here is that we can assume that every person here, for the most part, was a baby crying, sucking on a titty at some point.
Or a bottle.
Majority of them are on the tip.
True.
Every time I feel intimidated by someone or feel like I wish that there was like, I know some common denominator between us, no matter how we've turned out in this world, I just think about how we're both at some point, probably, likely, sucking on the titty, crying.
Yeah.
Crying until our mom put their titty in our mouth to shut us the fuck up.
True.
Just picture them as a baby sucking on their mom's titty.
The problem is, because of the way my brain works, there's like a
40%
chance that I'd be like, were you breastfed? I want to make sure I'm picturing it accurately. I wish I
wasn't on the nipple for that long. It shows. I don't know. I think that's humbling.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, it's better than imagining people in their underwear.
Because the thing is, it's like you cried and cried until someone either put a tit or something that looked like a tit in your mouth.
Yeah, and they're basically doing the same thing. I will say, this show had like, you know, it had like improv and sketch and clowns and stand-ups. And there was more stand-ups than anything else, and so they were sort of like sidetracked a little bit. And they get a little bit less time than the other acts. And I tried to make a joke at the night. It didn't go that well, but there were people out there doing the same character for 5 minutes, going balls to the wall. Someone threw themselves into a set of chairs. Another person like writhed around on the ground pretending to be a worm. And it was funny, right? And then I go up and I tell my little jokes. And I think that exposes stand-ups for what they really are, which is cowards. You know, in the world, people tend to think that stand-ups are brave because people's number one fear is public speaking. I heard that once. I don't know if it's true. But, you know, people's number one fear is public speaking.
It's not dying?
No. I think some people would rather die than than speak in public. But to me,
if your top fear isn't dying, just kill yourself.
But to me, I'm like, public speaking is easy. Public writhing around, public shouting.
Yeah.
You know, public making a fool of myself, public nudity. I'm like, those are all so much harder.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get there someday. Just wait. I'll have a burlesque set one of these days.
Oh, well, I hope you do that.
Thanks. You okay? I didn't know.
I wouldn't go.
Everyone, make sure to please be on your best behavior.
Sure.
Would you play us off?
Bye. Bye.
Why can you not get through more than two?
So fucking funny.